Secrets. David's secrets. If you could bow your head with me, Father, we thank you for filling this sanctuary with faith. Lord, we thank you for your presence. We ask for an anointing on the message, Lord, that it will edify, that it will bless, that it will move, that it will touch. Hallelujah, that it will deliver. We give you the praise and the glory in Jesus' name. Give God a praise offering. Turn to someone. Shake their hand. Tell them, I'm glad you're here. Amen. You may be seated in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Amen. The thing that David is famous for, or probably one of the things that he is famous for, of course, is that he started out life as a shepherd boy. David grew up in, of course, one of the most famous places that we can think of, Bethlehem, which means house of bread. And Bethlehem was the center of the sheep industry for the nation when it was founded. He grew up in a household that was their main business, raising sheep. And of course, being the youngest, he ended up being the one looking after the sheep out on the hillsides surrounding Bethlehem. Probably kind of a lonely job, kind of a by yourself type of environment. And he had learned around his father and his brethren, his brothers, all there was to know about sheep. And we'll find that of the 150 or so Psalms that are in the Bible, David is credited with half of them. 75 of the Psalms, David is credited of writing. And of course, the 23rd Psalm is probably his most famous Psalm, but all of them are good. All of them are great. But I wanted to try and understand, what was David's secret? What was it about him that enabled him to survive? You know, David was not a perfect man. He made many mistakes. Or let's just call it what it is. He sinned. He did some terrible things. But he must have had some secrets, because we see that God called him a man after his own heart. So I wanted to take the 23rd Psalm today and look at some of David's secrets that we maybe can apply to ourselves. And it starts off, the Lord is my shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd. When those words come forth, it takes me back all the way to Genesis 49, because David was not the first person to use that phrase, the Lord is my shepherd. Way back, his great, 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 many times great grandfather, Jacob, in Genesis 49, had used that same phrase near his death. As he was dying, he called all of his sons, the 12 tribes, in, and as he blessed them, he said, the Lord who has been my shepherd, my whole life. Lifelong. You see, when we can get to the secret and understand that one of the greatest secrets is knowing that the Lord is your shepherd. When you can say that and mean that and believe that, you have already achieved a certain depth in God. When you can say the Lord is my shepherd, that means so much. I'll tell you what some of the things it means. Secret number one is that David knew that the Lord was his shepherd. You know, he put himself in the place of a sheep. He put himself in the place of a sheep. And what that means is, first of all, submission. Because the sheep follow the shepherd. When you say the Lord is your shepherd, what you're saying is, I am following someone. I'm acknowledging that I don't know everything. I don't know how to work out the way. Someone else is in charge of this. Someone else is directing my path. It means putting yourself in the place of the sheep. It means putting yourself in belonging to a flock. Because there is no singular for sheep, is there? When you say sheep, it's always a flock. Any sheep that's by itself is in trouble. It means it's lost. So when you say the Lord is your shepherd, it means so much. It means that you're committing yourself to being a part of a flock, belonging to the body. That's what it means. David was putting himself as something that is innocent, that is operates just by instinct, a sheep. You'll find that when one sheep jumps, even if there's nothing there, the one comes up and it'll jump too. It'll jump too. They're so instinctually driven. David was putting himself down as someone who is ready to be led. The Lord is my shepherd. When the Lord is your shepherd, it means so much. It means you are trusting completely in the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. It means that you're not trying to lead yourself. Amen. John chapter 10, verse 27. Jesus said, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them. And they follow me." If the Lord is your shepherd, you understand he knows you. He knows everything about you. He's got everything worked out for you. He says, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish." When you understand secret number one, that the Lord is your shepherd, you can have a smile on your face. Amen. If you believe it, if you trust it, that the Lord is my shepherd. Come on, let's say it. The Lord is my shepherd. You see, when you say it like you believe it, it's going to put you in a different frame of mind. Because if you believe that the Lord has got this, if he's your shepherd, he is leading you into paths of righteousness. "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither," and this is the part I like, "shall any man pluck them out of my hand." When the Lord is your shepherd, he's not going to allow any sheep stealers. There's no rustlers on this farm allowed. When the Lord is your shepherd, you are in a place of safety. You're in a place of deliverance when you have said and mean it and believe it that the Lord is your shepherd. Just that one phrase says so much about David and his secret. Secrets number two: when the Lord is your shepherd, I shall not want. When you understand who your shepherd is, you can then say the secret number two is, "I shall not want. I shall not want." David made a declaration of faith when he said, "I shall not want," because it's not obvious how the shepherd can feed the sheep. He doesn't walk around with grass. He has to lead them to pastures. He has to lead them to a place of nourishment. He has to lead them to a place of feeding. So he goes on to say, "He maketh me to lie down in green pastures." That's a place of rest. Sometimes you just want a place of rest where you can just get off your feet, where you don't want to have anything to do with the world. You just want a place of rest. This is your place of rest today, where we get our praise on, where we acknowledge that the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. We have to make some declarations in here today. We have to tell Satan that I shall not want, because just like Jacob, he has been the shepherd my whole life long. Jacob could say that because he had been through some things. He had had to suffer for his mistakes of the past. But on his way back, God delivered him. And at his deathbed, he was able to say, "He's been my shepherd my whole life long." Way back before David, someone claimed, "The Lord is my shepherd. And because of that, I shall not want." Hallelujah. He's going to give me a place of rest. He makes me to lay down in green pastures. Sometimes you just have to take a while and sit down and ask God to just cover you and to just look after you. If you trust that the Lord is your shepherd, he is going to show up in your life. Jacob was able to do that at the end of his life. He made this bold statement: "He has been my shepherd my whole life long." You see, you know how he knew that the Lord had been his shepherd? He escaped death. He had gotten the blessing through cheating his brother. He had gotten the blessing because his mother had made a sacrifice, killed a lamb, and it was the covering on his arms that made him get the blessing. The Lord had been his shepherd his whole life long. He had thought that he was going to make it through his skill and cunning and being able to cheat his brother, but in the end, when he left home, he left with nothing. But the Lord was his shepherd. He did not want. His pillow that first night when he left home was a stone. But I tell you what, if the Lord is your shepherd, the way you come is not the way you're going to come back. Amen. The way you go is not the way you're going to come back. Amen. He went out with nothing. He came back with so much, he had to give some of it away. So when the Lord is your shepherd, you can declare number two, I shall not want. Come on, let's say it. I shall not want. One more time. Let's say it together. I shall not want. See, when the Lord is your shepherd, the next thing you can declare is, I shall not want. And then he's going to give you a time of rest. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. You see, in Psalms 37, another of the famous Psalms of David, Psalms 37, verse 1, it says, fret not thyself because of evildoers, neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquity. Verse 7, rest in the Lord. See, he's going to put you in a green pastures. Rest in the Lord and wait patiently. This is the hardest thing for us to do, is to wait upon the Lord. When things don't look like they're working out, when we cannot see the way. But David knew something. The shepherd is going to lead you in a place of rest. Don't worry. Just hold on. You're going to get the blessing. You're going to get deliverance. Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. Fret not thyself because of him who prospereth. Seems everyone else is getting blessed. Everyone else, the doors are opening. But rest and wait patiently. God has got this, because I shall not want. Amen? That was secret number two. I shall not want. That's what David said. The next thing he said is, he leadeth me beside still waters. You know what that represents? Refreshing. That means he's going to give you water. The thing that you cannot do without after breath is water. God has got a place of refreshing for you if you will make him your shepherd. If you start off by saying, the Lord is my shepherd, then he is going to lead you in paths of righteousness. He's going to take you into a place of refreshing where you will get your soul refreshed, where there will be springs of living water. He leadeth me beside still waters. David knew about being thirsty. He knew about being off somewhere where you couldn't get a drink. In Psalm 63, verse 1, another psalm of David. When he was in the wilderness of Judah, O God, thou art my God. Early will I seek thee. My soul thirsteth for thee. My flesh longeth for thee in a dry and thirsty land where no water is. He knew about being thirsty. That's why in Psalms 23, he said he's going to lead me beside the still waters. You ever been so thirsty and hot, and then finally you get some really cool water? There's nothing as good as cool water, cold water, when you are really, really thirsty. You know, lemonade and all of that fizzy stuff, don't do it. You want to just be able to just drink and drink with no bubbles. David knew about being refreshed. He said, he leads me beside the still waters. You see, sometimes we want to go where it seems like there's a lot of noise and bubbling, but sometimes that's not the place. He wants us in a place of rest, of calm, of refreshing. So David had a secret that he had with God about how he operated in his life. Hallelujah. Number three, he said, he restoreth my soul. Amen. After you've been refreshed, when you are in trouble. See, God knew that David needs some times of restoration. There's times when we mess up, when we're not doing what we should, but God is a restorer of souls. That's the next secret. Number three, he restoreth my soul. Let's say that one together. He restoreth my soul. Now say it like you mean it. He restoreth my soul. I tell you, once you start off saying, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. And then you get to, he restoreth my soul. We just need to repeat that. Tell Satan, listen, I don't know what you're on about, Satan, because he is the restorer of my soul. He's the restorer of my blessing. He's the restorer of my health. He's the restorer of my finances. He's the restorer of my family. He's the restorer of my children. Because the Lord is my shepherd. David knew some secrets. Because not everyone seems to have been as successful as David. He knew some secrets. Out on those Judean hills when he was alone, he got his harp and he started making himself some music. He started singing some songs. And he got this one, Psalm 23, which we love so much. He says, he restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. See, a good shepherd is going to take care of the sheep. He knew that being a good shepherd means to take them in paths where they could be safe, where they could be fed, where they could be delivered. Amen. See, he was not a perfect man. David did some terrible things, but he was able to say, he restoreth my soul. He restores my soul. He knew that as a shepherd, you have to look after the wayward sheep. He knew that the good shepherd is not going to let the sheep get away. He's going to keep going after the sheep. He knew that to be a good shepherd, he was going to rescue that sheep. No matter where it got to, he would look for it. In Psalms 51, verse 1, of course, he wrote that beautiful psalm. After he had sinned, after he had really messed up, after he had done some terrible things, he must have remembered Psalm 23. It says, when Nathan the prophet came unto him after he had gone into Bathsheba, Psalm 51, verse 1, and he starts with, have mercy upon me. Have mercy upon me. Oh God, according to thy loving kindness. This was secret number five that David knew, that God was a merciful God. If you don't know he's a merciful God, you better learn it. David knew some secrets in his relationship with the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He said, have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness, according unto the multitude of thy tender mercies. Blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. And here's the key part, for I acknowledge my transgression. See, Saul didn't know that secret. He knew that he was king, that God had called him, but he was missing a secret. That is, you have to humble yourself. You have to humble yourself before God if you want blessing. He says, for I acknowledge, verse 3, my transgression and my sin is ever before me. And of course, going down to verse 8, he says, make me to hear joy and gladness, but that the bones which thou hast broken may rejoice. Hide not thy face from my sins, and blot out all my iniquities. And then verse 10, create in me a clean heart, and renew a right spirit within me. That's some of the secrets that David had. He knew that because the Lord was his shepherd, he could have a relationship. He knew that he would take him back. He would clean up this sheep that had fallen into some mess and some filth and some things that were not good. He knew that the good shepherd would rescue the sheep. He said, create in me a clean heart and renew a right spirit within me. This is some of the secrets that David had. You see, David knew how God's mercy and his grace could extend. He knew that no matter how far he went, he wrote that psalm that said, his mercy endureth forever. His mercy endureth forever. Psalms 118, verse 1. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, because his mercy endureth forever. Let Israel now say that his mercy endureth forever. When you can say the Lord is my shepherd, you can also say his mercy endureth forever. Let the house of Aaron now say that his mercy endureth forever. Let them now that fear the Lord say that his mercy endureth forever. I called upon the Lord in distress. This was his secret. I'm telling you about David's secrets. He had a relationship. He knew, first of all, that because the Lord was his shepherd, he could call upon him. I called upon the Lord in distress. The Lord answered me and set me in a large place. You know you're sitting in a large place. You know you're sitting in a large place. The name of this church means God has made room. Rehoboth means God has made room. And it may not be apparent to you. Maybe you can't see it yet. But God has made room for each and every one of you. You're not here by accident, but you're sitting in a large place. I called upon the Lord in distress, and the Lord answered me and set me in a large... In the Hebrew, if you were to go to that, you would see that it has the root Rehoboth. One of David's greatest secrets was he knew how to humble himself. He knew how to humble himself. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord. You know, no matter where you are, no matter what your financial situation, you can have nothing, but you can give thanks. You can be at your wit's end, but you can still open your mouth and say, oh, give thanks. I give you thanks. I worship you. You know, once you do that, Satan won't know what to do. He'll just spin his head going around like a little wheel because he won't know what to do. You mean I've done all this stuff to them? I've cut off their electricity. I've taken away their job. I've done all of this, and they are still thanking you. They're still worshiping you because the Lord is my shepherd. You see, it's not just a phrase, it's a lifestyle. When you can say, the Lord is my shepherd, you're going to operate differently. You're going to walk differently because I shall not want. My shoes may have holes in them, but I shall not want. I might not be able to find a good coat, but I shall not want. He's got this. See, there was a genetic thread running all the way from Jacob all the way down to David, because his great-great-great-great-great-grandfather Jacob said, the Lord who has been my shepherd my whole life long. I tell you, when we understand who is to be our shepherd, when we can get that psalm down in our hearts, when we get that place of faith where we can declare some secrets that the Lord is my shepherd, then you can say like verse 5, I called upon the Lord in distress. The Lord answered me and set me in a large place. See, sometimes David's large place was a cave. When he was running from Saul, when he was in fear of his life, he didn't always live in a palace. Some of us think that this Christian life is always in the palace, always on the hill. Sometimes David wrote some of these psalms in a cave, when he was in a desert, when he was running for his life. But still he said, the Lord is my shepherd. He never once backed down on that declaration, no matter what Saul was threatening him. He'd get his harp and have a praise meeting. I don't know what the chords were to this psalm. I don't know how they sung it, but I know the words, the Lord is my shepherd. When we can get that down in our hearts and understand and declare it and believe it, we will see a difference. It wasn't that David didn't have trouble in his life. Many times he slept in caves. You'll see that. There was one time he came home and all his family had been taken by the enemy. And everyone was about to kill him. But you know what the scripture says? That he looked around for someone to say, cheer up. It's okay. Couldn't find no one. But you know what the Bible says? David encouraged himself. You know how he encouraged himself? I bet he got out his book and he started writing. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. Amen. He just started writing some stuff to himself. You know what? Since the Lord is my shepherd, I'm going to pursue. I'm going to go after the enemy. And I know that because the Lord is my shepherd, I'm going to get back everything that the devil stole from me. Everything that the devil stole from me is coming back to me. He's a restorer of my soul. He's also your protector. I can imagine when he thought about all the people who had taken his wife, he said, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. You have to say, yes, it's a dark and dusty place I'm going through in my life right now. Yeah, the enemy's got all these shadows over my walkway. But yea, though I walk through the valley of the, I shall not fear. Come on, let's say that. I shall not fear. Come on, say it like you mean it. I shall not fear. See, this was one of David's great secrets. As I said last week, he didn't call Goliath a giant, did he? No, he didn't call him a giant. He wasn't afraid of him. All Israel was afraid of him. But David said, listen, you uncircumcised Philistine. That's what he called him. You uncircumcised. He's a 9-foot guy, weigh about, 700 pounds. And he called him an uncircumcised Philistine. You come to me with a shield and a sword. I come to you in the name of my God. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Why? Because thou art. The shepherd is with thee. The shepherd is with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. You see, David understood that piece of equipment because he had been a shepherd. He understood what a shepherd's staff was to do. That it was there to both guide and to haul back in the sheep that had gone wayward. It was there to give a command and to tap that sheep, go this way. Some of us don't like being tapped, do we? But if you're going to say the Lord is your shepherd, you got to allow him to be your shepherd. You got to allow him to be your shepherd. Not just when it's good, but when you don't like it. He's not a part-time shepherd. I don't want a part-time, I want a full-time shepherd. I want a full-time shepherd. Amen. When he came to that passage, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil because thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff. they come. You know what the rod and the staff is? The Holy Spirit. Jesus said, I'm going to send the Comforter. I'm going to send the Holy Spirit should be there to guide you, to direct you. He said, the Bible says that you shall hear a word in your ear. This is the way. Walk in it. That's what the rod and the staff was for. Because if you know that you're on a safe place, you can be comforted. Hallelujah. John 14, 26. Jesus said, but the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring you through that valley of the shadow of death where it looks scary, where there's danger. It's going to be your comforter. It shall bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you. See, once you declare the Lord is my shepherd, it comes with all these benefits. It comes with all these blessings. It comes with a roadmap. It comes with a comforter. Free rod and staff. You've seen those ads that they tell you all this stuff and at the end they say, now, wait, you haven't heard all of it. Thou preparest a table before me, even in the presence of mine enemies. See, once you've humbled yourself, once you've let the Lord be your shepherd, he's going to exalt you. He's going to set a table, even in the people who are trying to kill you, who are trying to put you down. I want to say something, but I can't say it yet, so I'm going to have to wait. See, I lost my job, but it was for a reason. And I'm beginning to see it now. I'm beginning to see what God's doing. And it's and it's going to be really good when it's finished. I can't tell you yet. But I'll tell you this. He prepares a table in the presence even of your enemies. When you say the Lord is my shepherd, all of this comes with it. These are some of the secrets of David. This is some of the secrets of David. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. You know, I've seen some stuff where I'm even sorry for them. I said, Lord, please, I didn't mean you to do this to them. I'm sorry for some of my enemies. I really am. Because you know what? David knew another secret. Touch not the Lord's anointed. Now, I want you to say something. I want you to follow me. I am the Lord's anointed. Let's say it again. I am the Lord's anointed. So when the Lord is your shepherd, better not touch the Lord's anointed. He says no one can pluck you out of his hand. If you make him your shepherd, no one can pluck you out of his hand. You may lose some material things, but your soul is safe. You're sealed with a promise. If you could stand with me, I'm going to try and wrap this up because I didn't get to the end. I'm going to try and summarize what I just said and see if you can get this. So the Lord is my shepherd. You know what that is? That's a relationship. I shall not want. That's supply. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. That's rest. He leadeth me beside the still waters. That's refreshment. He restoreth my soul. That's healing. He leadeth me in paths of righteousness. That's guidance. For his name's sake, that's giving you purpose. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, that's some testing. I will not fear no evil. That's protection. For thou art with me. That's faithfulness. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. That's discipline. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. That's hope. Thou anointest my head with oil. That's consecration. My cup runneth over. That's abundance. That's abundance. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. That's blessing. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord. That's security. Forever. That's eternity. That's the secret of David. The Lord is my shepherd. Shall we say it one more time? The Lord is my shepherd. Amen. When you have said that, when you have said that, when you have meant it, when you have got it from down here, all of these other things will flow from that. The Lord is my shepherd. That's the secrets of David. Hallelujah. I will not fear. I will not fear because he ends up surely goodness and mercy.
Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. If we will just acknowledge that God is our shepherd, if we will humble ourselves and let him lead us, he said, my sheep know my voice. One of the scriptures that has kept me being pastor is this scripture. It says, the hireling fleeth. The hireling fleeth. Anytime I want to quit, I thought, no, I can't do that. Because I'm not a hireling. I'm not a hireling. You see, do you understand that the shepherd will lay down his life? Jesus has laid down his life for you. He's laid down, if he's laid down his life for you, he said, no good thing will he withhold. If he's already been willing to give his life for you, is there anything else he would not be willing to do? I don't think so. It's because most of us cannot truly say, the Lord is my shepherd. When we get to the point where we can say that and mean it and believe it, not just repeat the psalm, but learn the secret, that's when we will have some real deliverance in our lives. I'm closing this service. The altar is open if you want prayer, but the secret of David is that the Lord was his shepherd. When we get to that place where we will really sell out and say, the Lord is my shepherd, all of these benefits will come with it. He will be our comforter. He'll be our deliverer. He will exalt us. He'll put us in a large place. He will forgive us. He will cleanse us. He will restore us. Hallelujah. I'm closing this service, but I want you to take away from this. When you can say, the Lord is my shepherd, the Lord is my I shall not want. When you can get that psalm totally in you, when that word abides inside of you, Psalms 119 says, thy word have I hid in my heart, that I will not sin against you. We're going to close this service, but I hope you'll remember David's secrets. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Hallelujah. Lord, we just ask you right now, as we close this service, that your word will go forth with power into our hearts, that it will find good soil. Lord God, that we will remember that you